Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the pound weakens after another Brexit stalemate in Parliament.
Shares of Lyft plunge below Friday's IPO price.
Boeing pushes back the timeline for a fix to its MAX jets.
And U.S. automakers release sales figures for March.
House Democrats plan to issue subpoenas into the handling of security clearances at the White House. Plus, look for likely subpoenas for the full Mueller report. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Yankees battling injuries, but they beat the Tigers at the stadium. The Mets won, ninth inning in Miami. The Knicks won, Nets and Islanders lost. Devils beat the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
Well, the global stock rally is losing a bit of steam this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down two, NASDAQ futures down nearly 3 points. DAX in Germany up a tenth percent, so is the CAC in Paris. Price of the 10-year up 8/32, the yield at 2.47%. 2-year treasuries at 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 44 cents at $62.03 a barrel. COMEX gold down a tenth percent or $1.50 at $12.92.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1203 against the dollar. The yen at 111.34. And this data check brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS. John.
Well, Nate, we begin in the UK, where a no-deal Brexit is becoming more likely after Parliament rejected all options to replace Theresa May's plan. Now, the Prime Minister convenes a cabinet meeting to weigh her next move, and Bloomberg's David Merritt has more from London.
We've learned with this process that no vote seems to be final, apart from perhaps the one in 2016. So not only is Parliament going to have another go, but Mrs. May herself potentially could try to bring that thrice-defeated deal back for a fourth attempt, possibly tomorrow or even on Thursday. Is she going to do that? Well, we'll find out possibly after this epic five-hour meeting of the cabinet this morning.
Sources tell Bloomberg the cabinet is likely weighing two options: postpone the date for leaving the EU or allow more time to resolve the deadlock in Parliament.
Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs sees a big finish coming for Brexit this week. Zach Pandel is Goldman's co-head of global foreign exchange.
We do think that you are making progress despite these failed votes. The customs union approach, a kind of soft version of Brexit, came within three votes in Parliament. And so we think that we're angling towards a softer Brexit package, probably a permanent customs union, possibly packaged together with a second referendum. And we think that that will be coming together in the next 1 to 2 days.
The pound is weaker this morning, currently trading at 1.3043 against the dollar.
As the European Union squares off with Britain, it's also struggling to reach a consensus on trade talks with the U.S. EU governments appear unable to decide on a mandate to begin negotiations with Washington. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
Sources have told Bloomberg the main sticking points are the role of climate and the environment, given that the U.S. pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. And what that really means is that we may see a delay in the EU issuing an official mandate to start those negotiations with the U.S. And this may all come to a head tomorrow as we see EU ambassadors meet to discuss the situation.
And Bloomberg News has seen a draft mandate prepared for that meeting, which reiterates that the EU seeks trade accords only with countries that have agreed to the Paris Climate Accord.
All right, turning to markets now. Bitcoin is surging this morning. It's reached the highest level since November. The rally briefly pushed Bitcoin above $5,000. It comes after a relatively quiet year so far for the digital currency. Checking Bitcoin now, it's at $4,789.
And in Asia today, the stock rally ran out of steam with just modest equity moves in the region. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us live with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The Nikkei 225 in Tokyo and China's CSI 300 index were little changed, while benchmarks gained in Shanghai, Taipei and Seoul. Australia outperformed ahead of the government's budget announcement. The Aussie dollar fell and yields on the Aussie 10-year note ticked up after the country's central bank left the official cash rate at a record low 1.5% for the 29th meeting in a row. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, back here in the U.S., shares of Lyft plunged 11% yesterday to finish the session 4% below its IPO price. Dan Ives is equity analyst at Wedbush Securities.
Look, I mean, it's been a mini nightmare scenario. I mean, for this company where the red carpet's rolled out to drop below IPO price second day was something that I think not just tech investors, Lyft, as well as many in the Valley are watching. You know, we continue to think the big issue here is profitability. I mean, I continue to think there's a better chance of man being on Mars than Lyft having a profit. And that's the fundamental issue that I continue to hear from investors, you know, all day on valuation.
Lyft shares are down another 3% in early trading, and it could be an ominous sign for other unicorn companies planning to go public this year, including Uber, Pinterest, and Slack.
As Boeing grapples with the fallout from its grounded MAX jets, the plane maker says it needs more time to complete a software upgrade for the aircraft. That story from Charlie Pellet.
The safety system linked to two fatal crashes since October is being revamped by Boeing to make it less aggressive in pushing down a plane's nose and to add redundancy so that it's less likely to malfunction. Boeing had said it intended to present the Federal Aviation Administration with the software for approval by last week, but that schedule appears to have been pushed back. In a statement, the agency said, quote, the FAA expects to receive Boeing's final package of its software enhancement over the coming weeks for FAA approval. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Charlie, news from the World Trade Organization just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The WTO is slashing its global trade growth projection for 2019 to the lowest level in 3 years, citing the impact of rising commercial tensions and tariffs. It says world merchandise trade growth will slow to 2.6% this year after last year's 3% growth. This is the second consecutive year WTO has pared back expectations. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. House Democrats say they will subpoena a former official in the White House Personnel Security Office after a woman who works there told them that top secret clearances were handled improperly, including some for top aides to the president. Oversight and Reform Chairman Elijah Cummings says his panel is working with the whistleblower, who says that she and others in the office denied more than 24 applications for clearances, only to be overruled by supervisors.
What you have here are people who literally have the top secrets of the world, not just our country, but the world, with access to them, and they have not been properly cleared.
Meanwhile, White House advisor Jared Kushner defended his security clearance while on Fox News.
Over the last 2 years that I've been here, I've been accused of all different types of things, and all of those things have turned out to be false. We've had a lot of crazy accusations, like that we colluded with Russia.
House investigators plan a vote tomorrow on whether to authorize subpoenas to obtain special counsel Robert Mueller's full report into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is marking the alliance's 70th anniversary in Washington this week and meets with President Trump today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The New York Times reported in January that multiple times Trump has privately raised the threat of pulling the U.S. out of NATO. Stoltenberg says he's not concerned since Trump still publicly declares his commitment to NATO, and that's not all.
Also, we see a very strong bipartisan support from the U.S. Congress to NATO.
Trump has said he has a friend in Stoltenberg who understands the need for other nations to be financially committed to NATO.
I think he's the biggest fan of Trump because he said we couldn't collect money until President Trump came along.
Trump has insisted he's helped keep NATO from going out of business. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A bipartisan group of House members from New York and New Jersey urged the Transportation Department to complete an environmental review for a proposed new tunnel that would be part of the Gateway Project connecting their two states. The lawmakers said the proposed Hudson Tunnel Project has been under review for 11 months. New Jersey Democrat Tom Malinowski says the average length time for completion of an environmental impact statement is 5 months. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, the game for the Yankees was a 3-1 win over the Tigers that they needed, coming off two straight losses in the lowly Orioles. Domingo Herman got the win. Bullpen worked the last four innings. Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner with solo home runs. The bigger story, the injuries. First came news of a Giancarlo Stanton biceps problem. He's on the injured list, may not play for a month. Then about a half hour before the game started, the Yankees also put Miguel Andujar on the injured list. Here's Aaron Boone.
It's a small labrum tear. We're going to treat it conservatively for a couple weeks and see how he responds to it. His physical test with the doctor is actually really good. So there is some optimism that if treated conservatively, he can respond and come back and play. So, but we'll know that in a couple weeks.
But it is possible that Andujar, who had a terrific rookie season, could need season-ending surgery. The Mets, who lost in the ninth inning Sunday, won in the ninth. In Miami, they scored four times, capped by a long three-run homer by Pete Alonso, first of his big league career. Mets beat the Marlins 7-3. The A's blanked the Red Sox 7-0. Boston is 1-4. Knicks and Nets both at home. Rare win for the Knicks, 113-105 over Chicago. That ends a six-game losing streak. The Nets beaten by the Bucks, who've got the NBA's best record, 131-121. But all the teams that Brooklyn is battling with for a playoff spot also lost. Detroit, Miami, and Orlando, one of those four teams will miss the playoffs. John Tavares' second game back at the Coliseum. He scored. Toronto topped the Islanders 2-1. Devils beat the Rangers 4-2. The Blue Shirts were seeking a season sweep. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thank you, John. March Madness helping boost TV ratings. Michigan State's victory over Duke drew a 10.5 rating, the highest for a late Sunday regional final in 14 years. And the four Elite Eight games from Saturday and Sunday drew a 7.2 rating. That's the second highest for the tournament's second weekend since 2011. S&P futures right now down 2 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm, helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, 617 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing all the news you need to start the day. Let's check the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Nathan. Bitcoin sprang to life overnight. It breached the $5,000 level after a relatively quiet start to the year. Traders are at a loss to explain the exuberance. One suspect may be the annual blockchain forum taking place in Seoul this week. Theresa May confronts her cabinet today with the potentially explosive option of delaying Brexit by months. That's after Parliament rejected all options to replace the Prime Minister's plan. Boeing needs more time to assess software changes for the 737 MAX. The company says its update won't be ready until the coming weeks. And President Trump is moving healthcare to center stage in his re-election campaign. He says Republicans will hold off until after 2020 to vote on an alternative to Obamacare. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Nathan.
All right, thank you, Hannah. That is Bloomberg's Hannah George. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down a point now. Dow futures down 5. NASDAQ futures down almost 4 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. So is the CAC in Paris. The FTSE in London up 0.2%. Price of the 10-year up 8/32, the yield at 2.47%, 2-year treasuries 2.29%. NYMEX crude up 0.8% or 53 cents at $62.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.40 at $12.92.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.1201 against the dollar, and the yen at 111.34. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, sir. President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner is pushing back after a White House whistleblower claimed 25 people had their security clearances initially denied but were overruled. Kushner on Fox says, over the last 2 years that I've been here, I've been accused of all different types of things. All of those things have turned out to be false. House investigators plan a vote tomorrow on whether to authorize subpoenas to obtain special counsel Robert Mueller's full report. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Mets, the Orioles, and the Giants. The Red Sox lost to the A's 7-0. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers. The Islanders lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Knicks won along with the Celtics. And in college basketball, the women's NCAA Final Four is set. Baylor versus Oregon. Notre Dame versus UConn. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And it is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Is it peak auto? Well, Kevin Tynan at Bloomberg Intelligence Chief Auto Analyst. Driving by now to preview auto sales for the month of March. March is not going to be great, I guess, right?
No, not great. But I guess where this plateau is still a lot of units moving. So not as good as last year, but, in a historical context, somewhere around 17 million units is still profitable.
That's not shabby, 17 million. Where did peak auto come from?
Well, there's this concept that, we'll all be ride-hailing and autonomous vehicles. So private vehicle ownership will start to decline as we get driven around in our robo-taxi eggs and things like that.
I can just guess where you stand on peak auto, Kevin. Where do you stand on it? That's a bunch of hooey, you think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not a zero-sum game where I think what we're going to have are more options for mobility going forward. And I would like to think that people who want to own vehicles will still be able to own and drive them. People who want to use other forms of mobility will be able to do that, and it would ease pressure and congestion all through the system. But there's certainly a lot of work to do, even if you just look at repair and maintenance need to the existing infrastructure, besides, getting to this whole connected vehicle and vehicle to vehicle, vehicle to infrastructure and so on. So a lot of work to do, but I think it just basically gives us more options.
Okay, I do have a formula for increasing auto sales. Give me 0% interest rate and give me all sorts of incentives.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. We're seeing the longer terms, lower interest rates. Inventory is a little bit heavy heading into March. So there's a couple automakers up near the top there, Fiat Chrysler, General Motors, Ford, our domestic guys that are carrying a lot of product heading into the month. So you're going to see them try and get that into alignment with what's normal, closer to 2 months supply, 60, 65 days ahead of the summer selling season.
But what does that do to the bottom line for these guys?
Yeah, it's not great. The thing is, though, John, you're looking at this mix shift to truck from car. So really, even at a plateau, your margin contribution, your revenue contribution per vehicle is just better because we're running at 70% truck mix. So certainly margin compressing because of the greater incentives, but all told, the net effect is basically positive or flat at worst, because the mix is so much richer.
Hey, how much are they spending on technology that we may never use?
A lot. And I think that's important. But the other thing, too, is if you look at it, John, when operating profits returned after the bankruptcy period, that recession 2008, 2009, we got this flood of technology because there was money to spend. And I think as we get to your point, where profitability starts to decline because we're spending more on incentives, and I think that technology cycle will lengthen a little bit. It really compressed probably 3 years of auto technology was the norm through that build-out period, where historically it was like 8 years. So we're not three consistently, and I don't think we're going to be eight anymore. So somewhere in the difference there. But I think the most aggressive spending in that sense in this cycle is over.
All right, Kevin. Always a pleasure. Kevin Tynan, Senior Auto Analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, U.S. auto sales probably fell for a third month in March. Kevin Tynan from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customer, you can access this function at BIGO. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak being brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burton. Visit burtonllp.com/radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading, and let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The global stock rally is losing some steam in the wake of big gains to start the second quarter. U.S. futures lower following yesterday's 1.2% gain for the S&P 500.
Well, in the UK, the pound is weakening after Parliament once again failed to reach a consensus on Brexit. Details from Bloomberg's Thomas Penny in London.
Lawmakers failed for a second time to back any of the alternatives to the Prime Minister's EU divorce deal, and patience, time and options are running out. Theresa May will chair a marathon five-hour meeting of her cabinet as she seeks a way through the Brexit deadlock that has paralysed British politics. Leaving without an agreement, asking Brussels for a long extension, or calling a snap general election are among the choices on the table. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
European Union governments are risking a delay in trade talks with the U.S. that could further provoke President Trump. Sources tell Bloomberg EU leaders are struggling to reach consensus on a mandate to begin negotiations. The main sticking points include the role of climate and environment.
Coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the U.S. government issues data on factory orders for durable goods. Economists forecast a 1.8% decline for February. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The prior report showed durable goods orders rose in January for the third month in a row. Bloomberg Economics says a slowdown in aircraft orders will probably sway today's data, though capital investment should rebound this year, assuming the economy holds up. On Monday, industry data pointed to a rebound in March manufacturing. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Boeing says it needs more time to complete a software fix for its grounded 737 MAX jets. Engineers are working to update a stall prevention system linked to two fatal crashes. Boeing says it won't be ready until the, quote, coming weeks.
Shares of Lyft are down another 2.5% this morning. Yesterday, shares of the ride-hailing company fell 11% to drop below its IPO price of $72.
And the Bitcoin rally is back. At one point, the digital currency surged above 5,000 overnight. Right now, Bitcoin is at $4,769.
All right, now let's see how the rest of the market is faring. We check it every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change to higher now. Dow futures up 9 points. NASDAQ futures, little changed. FTSE in London up 0.7%. DAX in Germany up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury yield at 2.47%. while the yield on the two-year is at 2.30%, and the euro at 1.1201 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nate. 6:33 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings plans to issue subpoenas this week as part of the Democrats' investigation into the handling of security clearances at the White House. This after a whistleblower told the panel the Trump administration granted clearances to at least 25 individuals despite red flags. Cummings says every American should be concerned.
If there is an abuse that certainly might threaten national security, it would be legislative and congressional malpractice for us not to deal with them.
Today is the deadline set by the House for Attorney General William Barr to release the Mueller report. Barr has said he would release a redacted version by mid-April. The House Judiciary Committee votes this week to authorize a subpoena for the full unredacted version. President Trump calls it a model for criminal justice reform. At the White House, the president was touting the First Step Act he signed in December.
in less than 4 months, more than 500 people with unfair sentences have been released from prison and are free to begin a new life.
Among other things, the law that passed with bipartisan support aims to ease mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent drug offenders. U.S. trade negotiator Robert Lighthizer plans to meet today with some of the Democrats who raise objections to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman reports from Washington.
Automobile manufacturing is a significant industry in Kentucky, whose governor, Matt Bevin, urged ratification of the trade agreement in a Bloomberg interview.
The integrated supply chain between the U.S. and Canada to the north, Mexico to the south, is critical. We've got to stay together because we're integrated in ways that are not easily unwound. It would be like taking the eggs out of the cake once it's been baked.
Bevin said the tariffs on steel and aluminum are significantly raising the cost of producing a car, and threatened new tariffs on cars and car parts would be even more damaging. In Washington, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Radio.
Chicago is voting for a new mayor today in a runoff election. Tony Preckwinkle is up against Lori Lightfoot. Whoever wins today to succeed Rahm Emanuel will become the first African-American female mayor of Chicago. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 636 on Wall Street, that is time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, the Yankee injury list keeps growing. It's got three of their top pitchers, Luis Severino, CC Sabathia, Dellin Betances, plus Aaron Hicks, D.D. Gregorius, and now they've added two more of their best hitters. Giancarlo Stanton's got a biceps injury, and Miguel Andujar a small labrum tear on his right shoulder. His injury is the more serious. Andujar, second in the AL Rookie of the Year voting last season, could need season-ending surgery. Yanks called up Clint Frazier and Tyler Wade. They beat the Tigers at the stadium 3-1. Gary Sanchez and Brett Gardner with solo home runs. Detroit had only two hits. The Mets didn't lead in Miami until the ninth inning when they scored four times. They won 7-3. First big league home run for Pete Alonso. A long three-run shot in the ninth. His manager is Mickey Callaway.
We knew that that was going to come at some point, so it's not a surprise, but it's still a special occasion for a young player, you know, and they're shifting Pete, and he tries to stay through the ball, and he hits a bomb to center because of the approach. So there's excitement here, and it should be for a long time. It's pretty neat.
Among the games tonight, the Phillies in Washington. Bryce Harper returns. John Tavares returns, scored. Toronto topped the Islanders 2-1. The Rangers were going for a season sweep, but the Devils didn't happen. Devils with two late goals, 1-4-2. Knicks beat the Bulls at the Garden, 113-105. Luke Kornet, 24 points and 5 3-pointers. The Nets lost to the Bucks at Barclays, 131-121. Nets got some help. Losses by Detroit, Miami, and Orlando. Those four teams separated by a game and a half. Three of the four will make the playoffs. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Cashower. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Another story we're following this morning, Wells Fargo credit outlook cut by S&P Global Ratings. Head of the bank's CEO stepped out last week. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
S&P lowered the outlook on the bank's credit rating to negative from stable. The ratings company affirmed the lender's rating at A-. Tim Sloan last week gave in to critics and abruptly stepped down after the 31-year company veteran struggled to tame a range of scandals, launching the fourth-largest U.S. bank into a hasty search for a successor. The lender's board says it plans to look externally for a permanent replacement. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks a lot. And it is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The recent liberation of the final piece of territory that once made up the Islamic State is worthy of celebration. But President Trump risks making the same mistake as his predecessors by too quickly declaring the end of American combat missions. Instead, the U.S. needs to turn to threat management. Having lost its foothold, the Islamic State is in some ways more dangerous now than before. Free from governing responsibility, it can focus on traditional insurgency and terrorism. Fighters will carry jihad to other battlefields, including Libya, Mali, and Yemen. One challenge for the U.S. and its allies is to keep up military pressure on the Islamic State's remaining fighters. Another is to engage in deaf diplomacy with Turkey, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The alternative, raising the mission accomplished banner and moving on, will simply increase the cost in lives and treasure down the road. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street. And that's time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Boone.
After 8 missed internal deadlines, the Environmental Protection Agency's long-awaited overhaul of regulations on lead in drinking water are set to be issued this summer with a priority on low-income neighborhoods. The agency's leader, Andrew Wheeler, discussed the matter at a gathering of environmental lawyers. Wheeler said he worried that the EPA would end up with a rule that would replace pipes in affluent neighborhoods first and low-income neighborhoods last. He said the work can now be focused on the most needy neighborhoods. Corroded pipes are the primary cause of lead-contaminated water. The toxic metal can cause irreversible neurological, cognitive, and behavioral damage to children, even in small amounts. Such pipes were partly responsible for the lead contamination in low-income neighborhoods in Flint, Michigan. EPA regulations now require water utilities to monitor tap water for lead, but not to replace lead pipes unless contamination levels remain elevated for months. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Whole Foods taking another step to reshape its pricey image. The grocery chain owned by Amazon says it will lower prices on hundreds of items this week. The latest price cuts average about 20%. S&P futures right now down 2. The Dow futures up 10 points. You're listening to Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures relatively flat this morning. Let's head over to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now after yesterday's big gains. Dow futures currently up 7 points. S&P is little changed. And Nasdaq futures are lower by 1. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.48%. Oil is trading higher. And Asia markets were mixed overnight, while European markets are climbing, led by gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Walgreens to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Boeing says it needs more time to complete the 737 MAX software fix. Wells Fargo's outlook was cut to negative from stable by S&P, and Lyft is down another 3% in the pre-market after yesterday's 12% drop. Wrapping things up, Alcoa was downgraded to neutral at Credit Suisse, Quest Diagnostics upgraded to buy at Jefferies, and Exelon upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on the terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Congress is preparing for a legal battle, as today is the deadline set by the House for Attorney General William Barr to release the Mueller report. Barr has said he would release a redacted version by mid-April. The House Judiciary Committee votes this week to authorize a subpoena for the full unredacted version. House Oversight Committee Chair Elijah Cummings says he plans to subpoena White House former Director of Personnel Security over issues with security clearances for dozens of administration officials. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Mets, the Orioles, and the Giants. The Red Sox lost to the A's. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers. The Islanders lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Knicks won, along with the Celtics. College basketball, the women's NCAA Final Four is set. It will be Baylor versus Oregon. Notre Dame will take on UConn. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, there is money in lab mice. Rodents can sell for as much as $17,000 a pair as demand skyrockets in China. Yeah, it's a lot of money there for animals that mimic the diseases of humans.
Wait a second. Yeah. These are run-of-the-mill house mice, or they're genetically altered for...
Yes, they are a little genetically altered. No, it says right here is that they are among those custom-breeding lab animals.
Oh, I see.
For scientific and medical research by Sciagen Biosciences and Charles River Laboratories.
I'll let you have the mice in my basement for nothing.
No, I got one in the kitchen right now, so...
I've said too much already. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. Squeak. This is Bloomberg, John.
Okay, if that's not enough for you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street, and it's time to check in, see what's going on in the nation's capital. Some of our top stories in D.C. include White House National Security Advisor John Bolton expanding his influence in increasingly visible ways. And Democrats planning to subpoena former White House official over security clearances. And President Trump meeting with Secretary General of NATO. And also making news this morning, President Trump says Republicans will wait until after the 2020 election to hold a vote on a replacement for Obamacare. It's an abrupt shift. And joining us now with more, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. So, Kate, what's the thinking behind this?
Well, it seems as though Trump is beating hasty retreat here. A lot of Republicans were left scratching their heads when, in the wake of the conclusion of the Mueller report, Trump, who by all accounts has been pretty emboldened by that, came out and basically indicated that he was going to renew a push to have a vote on an Obamacare repeal measure prior to the election. That, given what the current polling shows, which is that Obamacare has become increasingly popular, had some Republicans concerned because there's a sense that perhaps this isn't a winning issue for them to engage on with voters, Obamacare repeal, prior to the election. So it sounds like those concerns were expressed to Trump and carried some resonance, because what we saw late last night in a series of tweets is Trump saying essentially that he's going to punt on the issue until after the election.
Okay, this means it's not a campaign issue for 2020.
Certainly it does. It means that it's less likely to be an issue that Republicans bring up. Now, what Democrats do is a whole nother question. We saw Democrats in the 2018 midterms actually campaigning on Obamacare, which would have been really hard to imagine back in 2010 when a whole slew of Democrats lost their seats after getting attacked by Republicans for supporting, or even in some cases not supporting, Obamacare. Some of the Democrats that lost in 2010 during the Tea Party wave lost even though they voted against the Obamacare legislation. So I think what we're seeing now, though, is this kind of, whole landscape shift in which now Democrats have the upper hand when they talk about Obamacare, because elements of the law are now very popular with large swaths of the population. And so I would anticipate that if anyone tries to engage in the 2020 election on the Obamacare debate, it's going to be Democrats going on offense rather than Republicans.
And let's not forget, it's also the subject of a court fight. And I guess, ironically, if the Trump administration wins in court, it could actually wind up being bad for them, because it would make it an issue before 2020.
Exactly. So it's almost like now, strategically, the Trump administration isn't totally in sync in the sense that they've hardened their legal position against Obamacare and trying to get it declared unconstitutional. And if they're, as you say, successful in that effort, then that could force the issue back into Congress's hands, or at least back into the public debate sphere prior to the elections. And particularly because we don't know when such a ruling might come down in terms of, the timing as it relates to the election, that poses some potentially risky problems for Republicans heading forward.
Okay, I got to ask you, who's in charge of this? I mean, because it sounds like a policy being ad-libbed from day to day.
Well, doesn't that sound like the Trump administration to you? I mean,
oh,
I feel like when it comes to the Trump administration, though, I feel like Trump is clearly the one that's in charge. But sometimes, Trump is not someone that I think shies away from modifying his position depending on changing circumstances. And, in some ways, some people say that that nimbleness is his political strength. And so I think that, I wouldn't be surprised to see some changes again, because Trump seems willing to modify his position and sort of fluctuate as the circumstances change.
Okay. Another story we're watching this morning, the House Democrats taking the first steps toward issuing subpoenas for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's entire report. So what are the first steps we're talking about here?
Well, Democrats have obviously been very, very adamant and very vocal about wanting to see the entirety of Mueller's report, particularly when we found out last Friday that the report is close to 400 pages long. And all we've seen so far is a summary that was written by the attorney general that was only 4 pages and included the attorney general's interpretations of the report. And so what we're seeing now is the Judiciary Committee in the House is teeing up a vote for tomorrow on issuing subpoenas. We would expect that to pass because the Democrats on the committee have a majority, and I would expect it to be at least least a party line vote. And so what will be interesting to watch is see if some Republicans actually join with Democrats to support that. But we're likely to see those subpoenas get authorized tomorrow. And that's going to be the beginning of the process. If the report isn't submitted by the deadline that Barr has set for himself, then we're likely to see Democrats try to force their hand on that.
Yes, I smell a showdown.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is going to be one that Democrats aren't going to back off of.
I mean, this is going to go to court, right? Or will it?
It could potentially. I mean, I think the question there, it's sort of that will lob it back to the Justice Department. And if the Justice Department and the Trump administration decide that they want to redact large portions of that report or not release it publicly, then I think that issue could play out in court, certainly, and could play out up to the Supreme Court in terms of questions of executive privilege.
Subpoenas for other documents. What about them?
Well, we know that also part of what the Trump administration wants to do, or I'm sorry, part of what the Judiciary Committee wants to do is speak with members of the Trump administration and Trump's advisors that might have additional information pertaining to Mueller's investigation. And so we're likely to see those subpoenas get authorized tomorrow as well and go out. And we could be seeing some additional interesting hearings on Capitol Hill.
Okay, let's move on to another story this morning. The Pentagon is delaying or set to delay 2 F-35s used to train Turkish pilots. Let's remind everybody, Turkey, first of all, is a NATO ally. What is the issue here?
Well, I think that the issue is that this is sort of indicative of the simmering tensions that have been going on between the U.S. and Turkey. The U.S. is not happy about Turkey's inclination to purchase some arms from Russia. And so I think that this is a way of the U.S. trying to sort of pressure Erdogan, who's in a somewhat weakened position, given that he lost leverage and lost some seats in local elections, over the weekend. So it seems as though the Pentagon and the Trump administration are trying to exert some leverage on Erdogan right now.
That's a lot to chew on. Kathleen, as always, thank you very much. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And just a reminder for everybody, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Thank you. And we are looking to a flat open as far as futures contracts go, though European equities are surging higher this morning. S&P futures right now up nearly a point. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures a little change to higher. The DAX in Germany, though, up 0.5%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. The FTSE in London up 0.75%. Price of the 10-year up 5/32. The yield at 2.48%. Two-year treasuries are at 2.30%. NYMEX crude up 47 cents, trading at $62.06 a barrel. The euro at 1.12 against the dollar, while the yen is at 111.37. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.